This is from the September 8th, 2019 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. Morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, The Potter and the Clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then said the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring to it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings." This is the word of the Lord.
Imagine, if you would, that three kinds of souls make up all humanity. Three types of people, which can be described by the prayers they pray. And the three prayers that they pray are these. Number one, "I'm a bow in your hands, O God, draw me lest I rot." Number two, "Do not overdraw me, Lord, I'll break." Number three, "Overdraw me if you want, who cares if I break?" Those are the three kinds of people. Another way to put it would be, "Use me. Don't overuse me." Or, "Who cares what you do? I'm yours." Well, the image of these three kinds of souls, and maybe it's a part of all of us, right? Each one of them at one time or another. It comes from the autobiography of the author of Zorba the Greek and Last Temptation of Christ, Nikos Kazantzakis. Now, if you didn't know that Zorba the Greek and Last Temptation of Christ were written by the same guy, now you do. He started his autobiography with that image of the three kinds of people. That's how he saw the world. And so his three types get me thinking, well, about me and God, frankly. And how am I at putting myself in God's hands? And would I ever say to God, I'm in your hands, even if you break me, I'm still in your hands, do whatever you want to do. It's an amazing thing for me to consider someone who might really be willing to say that. Well, this morning's reading from the book of Jeremiah. In that reading, in the Old Testament, the word of God comes to the prophet Jeremiah, and what God says is, behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand. Now, these are finished clay pots, not the clay at the very beginning, but what we hope will emerge eventually. And on the front of your order of worship is halfway there, the clay on the wheel. But this is way before all that. This is putty in God's hands, shaped by God, hopefully, into a beautiful creation. And all that seems pretty good to me at first, but is it really? Because there's a before to that, too. I mean, what do you think of the image of a powerful God who can break down at a whim? Jeremiah, what Jeremiah says right before this is God can pluck up or destroy at will, and if God wants to, God can do it, and is that powerful? What do you think of that? And then, what do you think God thinks of people who are soft, passive lumps of mud, just sort of waiting there for something to happen in God's hand? What do you think of us now, God, huh? How do you like that? And see, the problem with all this kind of thinking is it sort of pits us against God. I think we do it all the time. Will we be putty in God's hands? Will God make us? Do we want that? And even all those prayers we pray, please help me, heal me, that all assumes something similar, this sort of almost antagonistic or at least back and forth relationship with God. But what if it was different? I mean, what if the potter and the clay worked more together? And what if the clay influenced the potter and the potter and the clay were more one? Would that be possible, I wonder? There have been times in my life when I have felt broken down. And there have been times when I've felt broken down and then built back up. And it's not easy for me to think about all that. And it still keeps happening. I keep waiting for the pot to be done. It's a struggle for me to think about putting myself really in God's hands and then what that might mean and being not completely finished. St. Teresa of Avila was better at it than I am, but of course that's probably no surprise to anyone. She wrote this about it. She said, give me death, give me life. Health or sickness. Honor or shame. War or peace. Give me weakness or full strength. Yes to all of these things. What do you want of me? Isn't that amazing? Yes to all of these things. And I particularly am amazed by the word or. Weakness or strength, sickness or health. Yes to all of it. I'm yours. That's part of what this is about, this Jeremiah text. And what I learned about it from St. Teresa and her words, putting ourselves in God's hands, it doesn't depend on anything. Like, I'll put myself in God's hands if I have the time. Or I'll put myself in God's hands when I'm ready and I feel like I have something. Or I'll put myself in God's hands if I don't get sick this week. or I'll put myself in God's hands if the company doesn't come from out of town and choose the wrong weekend, or I'll put myself in God's hands if. And any time there's an if, you're not really putting yourself in God's hands. So how does Jeremiah do it? It's all the time. It's a way of being. So Jeremiah lived from about 625 BCE to about 580, right? We're going backwards because it's BC, okay? And so what that means is he lived through the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which was in 587 before Jesus. He lived through the most dreaded time in the history of 500 years for Israel. Whatever the most dreaded moment of history might be, he lived through that. Think about that. He lived through a time when it felt like everything was being broken apart. And as Jeremiah saw the people being exiled from their homeland into refugee camps in Babylon, he wrote this. They were being broken down. And, Jeremiah said, consider the possibility that we're being shaped. That we're being shaped. What if we're not just being broken down? What if instead we are being remade? What if you are being remade? Even those days where you feel horrible and like you've dropped the ball again and lost it again and been broken. What if you are being remade even in, and maybe that especially there? Because that's, it doesn't end with that. Breaking down. I mean, the exiles come home eventually, and they're changed forever. So I was preparing for this sermon, and I was reading Jeremiah, came across a book on pottery. Now, I really did come across it. I didn't go look for it. And so I skimmed through it, not expecting much, because I didn't go look for it. I just came across it. So how good could it be, right? But I'm reading about Jeremiah, and so there's this book on pottery in the discard pile at the library. And I don't go to the library that often anymore because the internet and everything, but I was actually in a library and there was like a discard pile of books and there was one on pottery. So I picked it up. What the heck? I thought, kill 5 minutes. Procrastinate about writing my sermon. It was called How to Make Pottery. It was from the 1960s. Amazingly helpful it was. Imagine. The introduction said this. Today's antique was once someone's dream. Brought to life by a pair of loving hands. And many such creations will become the treasures of tomorrow. Well, I kept going after that, and I looked through the table of contents, and the second chapter of the book was called How to Make Clay Behave. And that caught my attention. I mean, it caught my attention mostly because I'm a fan of Mike Myers and Austin Powers and everything. I imagined him as a potter saying to the clay to behave. And as sad as all that is, it did get me to read more. So, and I wasn't disappointed. According to chapter 2, it is essential that the student have a knowledge of different types of clay and what these clays will or will not do. Once a student or a potter, right, learns the characteristics of the clay, he'll find it more easy to work with instead of working against it, and then can get the best results. So did you catch that? The potter needs to know the clay, and the potter knows what the clay is capable of. And then the potter and the clay work together. Do you think God knows what you are capable of? Does anybody not think God knows what you're capable of? I mean, you may not believe it some days or trust it much, but you have to know somewhere deep down, God knows what you're capable of. And it's more than you think, right? You know it is. Do you think it's more than you think? Do you think you are capable of more than you think you're capable of? Because I think God does. Pretty sure. Why would he call us? Going on in chapter 2. The one on making clay behave, right? Behave. Some students, it says, find great satisfaction digging from the earth the clay for their creations. Now, to be completely responsible for the transformation from the humble material in the dirt into this object of beauty, it's a special joy known only to those who have done it. Clay is decomposed rock. And there's an abundance of it all over the earth. One might be fortunate to find it in one's own backyard. To test whether it's clay, because not all dirt is clay, to test whether it's clay, pick it up. If it's wet and it sticks together into a ball, it's clay. There's a lot of clay out there, turns out. And what you do, you process, this is still from the book, I didn't know any of this. You process clay by removing the impurities and breaking it up, breaking up the chunks. So the book even suggests you put the chunks in a meat grinder. Ha, now we're talking, right? Jeremiah knew what people had been through. And to some of them, their lives felt like they had been through a meat grinder. Anybody? But to Jeremiah, that was preparation. God's work in the midst of their struggle to begin preparing them for something else. Preparing them for what, you wonder? Well, what's the potter preparing the mud in the backyard for? To become clay. Clay isn't out there. It needs to be prepared to become the clay that makes the pots. To prepare to be clay in the hands of the potter. There's another thing back here before you get to this. To prepare to be clay that behaves. Well, back to the book, right? After the dirt and the mud is ground up and the impurities are all out from the meat grinder or whatever kind of grinder, then water does the work. Water, right? And what water does is it, you take that now ground up, less impure stuff and mix it with water, and it's called slip. That's the word, slip. It's probably slippery. And the slip is what becomes the clay. And of course I thought, the water of baptism, molding us, making us, giving birth to us, out of the dirt, like Adam and Eve. And then I got back to the text and the book helped me see that there is this long process of preparation that we don't always recognize going on in our world, in our lives, because we're so goal-oriented and outcome-based about everything, about the church, about work, about our families, about our relationships, about our sex life, about our diets. We are so outcome-based about everything that we can't be in the process of preparation without feeling horrible because we're not there. God does not just pick us up one day and mold us into a beautiful vase. That is not what this text is about. It takes lots of time. And that time and all of its challenges, way before the pot gets molded, preparing us to be clay. And maybe that time is what it takes. And by the time that we're clay, we're ready to say, I'm in your hands, God, no matter what, sickness or health, who cares, do whatever. What a way to live. Consider this. I learned all that from a book that was on the discard pile. A book that I believe God chose to use to get my attention. God will use anything, even you, and even dirt. But even dirt has to be prepared and willing to be fully in God's hands. And we are in the hands of a pretty skilled potter, turns out. I mean, God didn't just pick up a book in a discard pile and try it one day. This is a skilled potter. Our lives are in God's hands, and God will shape us. And I'm not sure what requires more trust. Do your own thing, or put yourself in God's hands. But the image of the potter is about trusting. I think at least partly it's about trust. The trust to be molded and to be broken and remade and to repent and to change and to stick with it and to keep the conversation going and to work on it and to try a fifth or a 12th or a 19th time and maybe, just maybe, get a little better the next time. And maybe it won't be as difficult as it was the first time. I mean, you can get there, but you have to keep getting there. That's the thing. I mean, maybe we just need to put ourselves in God's hands. As I believe the wisdom of Charlie Brown confirms, and I will close with a Peanuts cartoon, Sally says this to Charlie. I'm doomed. I'm doomed. My life is over. I have to write a report on rivers. It's due next week. I just know I'm going to get a failing grade. I'm doomed. And Charlie Brown suggests, well, but why don't you just work real hard on it for a week and then turn in the best report you can possibly write? Oh, that never occurred to me, she says. Mm-hmm. All month long, we will be reading from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. We started last week. We've been reading through the prophets this summer. Jeremiah has been described by one commentator as prophet of doom, prophet of hope. Doom and hope, it suggests, go together. And I think they do. I mean, Jeremiah isn't predicting doom. He's prophesying doom, which means he hopes for something else. There's a huge difference. Jeremiah rails against what is wrong, and he tells it like it is. He predicts doom because he wants something else. Instead, he wants change. Jeremiah is a wake-up call for those with ears to hear and lives to respond. Doom is the clay of hope, I think. Doom is the clay formed in the hands of God into lives that hope. May it be so for you and for me.